We praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be. Thou living us we filled with thee, thou in the Son expressed might be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Bob Danker has joined us for another splendid life study program from the book of Philippians. Welcome back, Bob.
It's good to be back, Chris, and it's also good to, as you said, look back at some of our predecessors in the faith to see how they learned to receive God's word through prayer.
Of course, the Bible says we only have one Father, and in that sense, that's who we are honoring. But we do recognize, as you said, those who have gone before us from whom we have gained so much. And that's, I think, going to be an interesting aspect of the program today. Recently, Bob, we've been talking a lot about the relationship between the Word and the Spirit and how these two should never be separated. When we come to the Bible, we need prayer, and we also need to add the words of the Bible itself to our prayer. Bob, let's join Witness Lee right now. He's speaking in a conference in 1980 at 75 years of age about the personal help he got from 2 pillars of the Christian faith, George Whitefield and George Mueller. Maybe before we join him, let me ask you briefly to give our audience, our listeners, a little background on these two, as we would say, pillars of the faith here.
Well, Chris, George Whitefield lived in the 1700s. He was a contemporary of John and Charles Wesley, and he studied with them at Oxford University and was a member of a spiritual group there, which was called the Holy Club or the Oxford Methodists. And whereas John and Charles Wesley worked mainly in England, George Whitefield spent quite a number of years in the United States as an evangelist. Although he was, of course, a British man, a British brother, he was burdened to preach the gospel in America, and he spent considerable time in America. And George Mueller, he lived in the next century, the 1800s, and he was known as a man of faith. He lived in England, and he was most well known for his work among orphans. He built up orphanages in England to care for the orphans, and as a man of faith, he never let anybody know what his financial need was. He only went to the Lord, and he trusted in God to meet his need, and God was faithful and met all the needs of George Mueller's extensive work in England among orphans.
Well, of course, there are great biographies of these men, and these biographies are certainly worthwhile reading for any believer. In Mueller's case, I know there's a very well-known autobiography, and Witness Lee will refer to that in this coming section. So let's join him for his fellowship.
George Whitefield, he prayed word after word, the whole New Testament Greek text.
Wow.
He prayed all the Greek text of the whole New Testament. If I remember well, he prayed on his knees. He prayed what? Not pray his prayer. He prayed the Bible. He prayed as a British man, the New Testament in Greek. He prayed every sentence of the Greek New Testament. Now you understand his secret, why he was so powerful, why he was so spiritual, because he did a lot of pre-reading of the Word of God.
Amen.
I got saved in 1925. I began to love the Bible. Firstly, I only knew to read, exercising my 2 eyes. As a young man, still teenager, I was ambitious of knowledge. because I got saved. I love the Bible. So I sure like to know. So I read the Bible. In a short time, I think about just 3 weeks, I read through the whole Bible. I got nothing. Then I was told, you have to meditate. Not only to read, but to meditate. So I learned to meditate. And nobody told me what is the right way to meditate. According to a lexicon, to meditate means just to dwell upon and to consider. So I did. I read a verse, then I meditated. It helped a little bit. It's better than nothing. But still that didn't work. Then I got the help from George Mueller's autobiography. It's close to 45 years ago. I got a copy of his autobiography. In that book, he told us that whenever you read a verse, you need not only to dwell upon it, to meditate it, but also you need to pray. Amen. Suppose that verse talks about love. You have to pray about love. Suppose that verse talks about repentance. You have to pray about repentance. Then by this, I got a lot of help. So I began to read the Bible and pray accordingly. And a number of times I did pray with the pure word of that verse. I made that verse my prayer.
Well, Bob, I think for the listeners that have been following along in this life study, we've seen conclusively from Paul's presentation in Philippians that these two things, the word and the Spirit, cannot be separated, as we touched before. So this program today is very practical, and we're getting a historical basis at the same time for this practice that we have referred to already as pray reading. And now we have the testimony of these two, anyone would acknowledge, pillars of the faith, Whitfield and Mueller. How about your own testimony, Bob?
Well, Chris, before I learned how to pray read with the words of the Bible, I used to have a personal time with the Lord in the morning, and I would read a portion of the scriptures. Many times I would do this on my knees, but I have to confess that often before I finished my reading, I had fallen asleep. And of course, it's very hard to get anything out of the scriptures when you're sleeping.
Right.
So this doesn't work so well. And there were other times, of course, I would read the Bible, as Witness Lee said, you know, meditate on it and get some kind of help. I would receive some kind of benefit from that. But then one day, by the Lord's mercy, someone helped me to learn how to pray read. And that just changed my entire experience of reading the Bible. The words, black and white words on the page of the Bible, they are the logos, the constant word of God.
Right.
But what we need, Chris, is not the logos. We need the rhema, the instant word spoken by the Lord to us at a particular moment. And as the Lord said in John 6, that instant word, that rhema word, is spirit and life. So when I began to pray read the scriptures, the logos on the pages of the Bible began to become rhema. I began to receive the Lord's instant speaking while I was praying with the words of the scriptures, and this speaking of the Lord is indeed spirit and life. It results in nourishment, enjoyment, enlightening, even as Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, I found your words and I ate them,
right.
And your word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You can tell from Jeremiah's experience that the word of God that he ate became joy within him. That means it became grace. It became even the spirit within him. So this was my experience too. As I pre-read the word, no more of the word of the Bible, just teachings, moral teachings, ethical teachings, doctrines, and even spiritual facts. But these words become rhema words, instant words that are spirit and life.
Yeah, Bob, you used the phrase, the Word became spirit in life. Of course, as Dick Taylor pointed out a day or two ago, that in John 6 was the Lord's promise, that my words to you, they are spirit and they are life. But many times our experiences, as you described your first experience, oftentimes the Word is not full of spirit in life in our experience and can have just the opposite effect, as you said, sometimes putting us to sleep. So we all want, I think all God's people want this experience. They want the Word to be living and operating, fully conveying and containing the Spirit, and that's what this program is devoted to, really. We're going to go on now. This time, Witness Lee will continue to talk about the help he got from others, and specifically Watchman Nee. Stay tuned for this one.
But still, I didn't know how to exercise the Spirit. Our leading brother, Watchman Nee, he experienced something. He stressed among us on the matter of what? On the matter of exercising your Spirit. You must exercise your Spirit. When you talk to people, you must send out your Spirit. He said, when you talk to people, if you use your mind, you could only touch people's mind. When you talk to people, you use your emotion, you will move others' emotion. I got helped. Then Watchman said, if you are going to touch people's spirit, you must use your Spirit. He said, you must push out your spirit. And he said, our spirit is the dormant one, the lazy one, the most active one, the most diligent one, you know, is what? The mind with man, but the emotion with the ladies. And the most idle part of our being is our spirit. Do you realize? You don't exercise your spirit that much in reading the Bible. When we come to Bible, be sure I concentrate my spirit. I don't care for my seeing, my sight. I don't care for my understanding. I don't care for my being moved. I care for what? I care for the exercise of my spirit to pre-read the Word.
Well, Bob, I really pray that our listeners caught the point here. I think it's worth spending the time on to make doubly sure. This matter of bringing our spirit and the exercise of our spirit into it, which he attributed to Watchman Nee's help for them in their early days in China, developed this thought for us, because this is a critical component, isn't it?
Yes, Chris, we have told our listeners in a number of broadcasts that when they read the Bible, they need to pray read. But the secret of pray reading is the exercise of our regenerated spirit. We all have a regenerated spirit within us. If we read the Scriptures without exercising our spirit, then we cannot touch the Spirit of the Lord, who is contained within the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So the essence of God's Word is Spirit. The essence of God's Word is just God the Spirit Himself. So in order to receive God's words through prayer, we must exercise our spirit. And as Witness Lee pointed out, our spirit is probably the most idle part of our being.
Mm-hmm.
Our mind is very strong, our emotion is very strong, but our spirit is weak. And when we read the Bible, very few of us may actually use their spirit. So the key to pray reading is not only to pray with the words of the Bible, but to pray with the exercise of our spirit. In his speaking in this message, we didn't listen to that part, but Witness Lee gave an example of a match.
Uh-huh.
A wonderful example. You know, we have a match. Match is a little stick of wood, but on one end of the match, we have a little ball of phosphorus. And when we strike that end of the match, which has the phosphorus, against a matchbox, the rough part on the side of the matchbox, what happens? The fire comes out.
Right.
So in his illustration, Witness Lee likened the Bible to a match, and the Spirit of the Lord, who is contained in the Bible, as the phosphorus. So here you have the match with the phosphorus, but you don't get any fire unless you strike the phosphorus against this rough surface on the side of the matchbox. Well, what is that rough part of the matchbox? That's our spirit. So we have to use our spirit to strike the divine Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the Scriptures, and then we experience a divine fire, something burning within us, something enlightening us, moving us, and feeding us, and something nourishing us. But if we don't use our spirit to strike the spirit in the Bible, then we will get no fire. You can look at a match, you can love a match, you can appreciate a match, but you have no fire unless you strike that match against the proper object. And it's exactly this case with the Bible. Unless we strike the Word of God with our spirit, we have no fire. But when we do, we then experience the divine fire, which is God Himself in the Word.
And Bob, that really connects to a verse we're going to touch again tomorrow about holding forth the Word of life. And as a result of that, we become luminaries, those who shine out. That means this fire, this flame of light is operating and being expressed through our very selves.
That's right, Chris.
Well, Bob, let's join Witness Lee once again. This time he will tell of his experience of the Bible becoming the tree of life to him, and he is going to tell a story from 1943.
When the triune God and the Spirit, through the Word, touched by us, we have Him as our light, life, love, holiness, righteousness, and power. All these are one, just the Lord Himself. This is the very experiential, not only subjective, but experiential Christ. You experience Christ in such a subjective way. Then, spontaneously, you live Christ in so many items of the divine virtues. This is what we need. It doesn't mean that the Bible is God's spoken word. It gives us a divine revelation, telling us what God is, and telling us what we have to do, and telling us we have to behave in certain way, then we can contact God. Apparently, this is all right. Apparently, the Bible is just like such a book. But this is a distraction. It's nothing wrong, but it is a distraction. I got a lot of experience by wasting my time to consider the Bible as such a book, a revelation spoken by God, telling us what God is, how God is, and telling us how we have to do, how we have to behave ourselves, that we may contact Him. I practiced this kind of teaching for years, since 1925. After 1943, I had a big change. I no more merely consider the Bible as a kind of objective revelation, telling me what God is, telling me what I have to do to behave myself, to contact Him. I began to consider that this book is the tree of life for me to eat. When it is a book of life to you, it is the tree of life. When it becomes a book of knowledge to you, it becomes the tree of knowledge. The tree of knowledge brings you death. The scripture in letters kills. But if you exercise your spirit to concentrate your whole being, not on the understanding, but on the feeling, right away you make this book a book of life, the tree of life. From every page, every line, you could get some fruits of life, and you eat them, and you feed yourself with them. Then you get the life supply.
Well, Bob, I believe that this is one of the most critical points in this ministry, the matter of the Word and what it can be and what it most often is. Let me say that, of course, we love, we honor, we regard, we respect, we believe the Bible, however we touch it, however it's presented, in whatever form and fashion. But the Bible becoming the tree of life, is another matter altogether. And we really believe that this is what God has as the portion for all of his people, don't we?
That's right. When God gave us the Bible as his word, his main intention was not just that we would learn about him through the revelation in the Bible, and that we would not receive instructions on how to behave ourselves and conduct ourselves in order to make God happy. This is not God's main intention. God's real intention in giving us the Bible is to give us the tree of life for us to feed, to eat, to have some food, some divine spiritual nourishment, to nourish our inner man. And the result of our being fed with the words of the Scriptures, actually our being fed with the Spirit as the reality of the words of the Scriptures, the result of this is that spontaneously we live Christ in all kinds of virtues will come out in our daily life without our effort. So this is a critical point.
Mm-hmm.
The Apostle Paul said that the Bible can be to us either the tree of life or the tree of knowledge.
Right.
In 2 Corinthians, Paul said, the letter kills. That means the letter of the Bible, just used in a way of knowledge, brings in death. But Paul said, the Spirit gives life. So where is this life-giving Spirit today? Well, he is embodied in the words of the Scriptures. When we come to the Word, we need to consider that we're coming to the tree of life to receive the life-giving Spirit as our spiritual nourishment. This will produce in us a metabolic change in our inward constitution to make us a man of God, a man of life, and we will spontaneously become a part of God's corporate expression. We will live Christ, and we will not live ourselves.
Bob, if you will allow, I would just take a moment to make this comparison. If we take the Bible as just a manual, a how-to manual, a how-to-live the Christian life, how to carry on relationships, how to behave properly to please God, it will kill us, won't it?
It will, Chris. It will bring in spiritual death. That means it will isolate us from God, and it will separate us from a living union and fellowship with God.
But on the other hand, if we take the Bible as the tree of life, praying, exercising our spirit to, as you said, strike the Holy Spirit, the divine component in the Word, it becomes something altogether living, nourishing, enlivening, a wonderful contrast.
A wonderful contrast, and we need to experience this in our own experience. I need this experience. You need this experience. All of our listeners need to experience this wonderful aspect of the Word of God.
Well, we're out of time, Bob. I enjoyed our time together very much today.
And I enjoyed it very much too, Chris.
For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.